Well, turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 2, we're continuing, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. We're seeing some great truths from God's Word to help us grow as believers. We want to make a difference for Jesus Christ. We have seen Paul the Apostle is writing, of course, to believers in Rome, and he's giving them instructions, first of all, on biblical truths. Second, his plans on the fact that he's going to come see them. And third, practical applications that they can apply in their lives. Our goal, of course, is to know and apply God's Word so that we'll be changed. And as we continued this morning, we're seeing what has been called the problem section of the book of Romans. We see that all people have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They're sinners, whether they're the bad man, the so-called good man, the religious person, all have sinned and need a Savior. One of the great truths from God's Word is that God's only hope for mankind is His Son, Jesus Christ. He came to die on the cross to pay for our sins and rise again, and whoever will believe in Him will not perish but have eternal life. We're saved by grace through faith. This morning, as we go through our passage, we're going to look at verses 12 through 16 of Romans 2. There are two things, two great, in a sense, theological truths that we need to understand as we go through it. Number one, we're going to talk about the law. And when we say law, we're going to realize there are different aspects of the law. There's the Mosaic law, and then there's the moral law. We'll see how that ties together. We're going to see the purpose of the law. Second is we're going to talk about the conscience. The conscience, as you know, is that part of you on the inside that tells you right from wrong. We're going to see how it works. We're going to see what it's all about. There's a lot that we can gain from this study, so may we do that. Well, have you ever been driving down the highway? Or the street, and you're not really paying attention, and you're driving, you're not paying attention to your speed, and suddenly you look up in the rearview mirror, and there are the lights, and you go, oh no. You look down, you realize you're going faster than the speed limit, and you have broken the law. In fact, I heard the story about a man and his 11-year-old daughter were driving, and he turned the wrong way, and he said to his daughter, whoops, I just made an illegal turn. And his daughter said, that's okay, Dad, the police car behind us did the same thing. In our world and in our governments, we have laws. We have things to obey. What about God? Does God have laws to mankind that are to be obeyed? Does God have the rights and the wrongs? The answer is yes. And based on the character of God, He has established right and wrong in our world. And as we study our passage this morning in Romans 2, we're going to take a look at the concept of law. And two broad aspects. We're going to talk about the Mosaic law, which was given to the nation of Israel, and the moral law, law as a principle, which is given to all people. And we're going to find that whether you're Jew or a Gentile, whether there's this concept of law that we're under, and when mankind looks at law, whether it's the Mosaic law or the moral law, man finds that he is guilty, that he's fallen short. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's glory is His perfect character. Well, this morning in our passage, we're going to look not only at this law aspect, but we're going to talk about the conscience as well, the part of us on the inside that tells us right from wrong, and we'll see how that ties together. There's a lot as we fit this together. Let's begin. In fact, as we think about it, remember where we are in the book of Romans. We moved into what's the first section of the book called the problem section. In chapter 1, verses 1 through 17 is the introduction Paul writes to the believers at Rome. In this first big section, beginning in chapter 1, verse 18, going through chapter 3, verse 20, that whole section is called the problem section. You see three types of people, the bad, the good, and the religious. All three, in a sense, are going to have a concept of law, and all three are going to have this conscience, and we're going to talk about it as we look at it. Let me give you the outline. I've got two outlines. This is the one I wanted you to see. This is the thing we've been looking at, the problem. In Romans 1, through beginning in chapter 1, basically through chapter 3, there are three types of people. We've been seeing this, so I won't go into detail on this, but the first part in chapter 1, we call the bad person, the wicked person. They do wrong. They know they do wrong. In fact, we said they know about God. They reject God. They turn away from God. They have their own gods. God gives them over, and we saw that. Then we see in chapter 2, and this is what we started last week, the good person. We call it the so-called good person because the good person looks at the bad person and says, I don't do near those things. I'm not bad like that. But the problem is they're bad because anybody who's sinned one time has come short of God's glory. And so even the good person, the so-called good person, is guilty. And then, beginning in chapter 2, verse 17 through chapter 3, verse 8, you got the religious person. In this particular passage in the book of Romans, he's talking to the Jew, to the Jewish person. And this is the religious person who'd say, I'm not bad like the bad guy. I'm a lot better than the good guy because I'm involved in religion. I do things for God. Well, the problem is they're also guilty. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so the summary, chapter 3, verse 9 through about 20:21, the conclusion is there's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned, whether you're the bad man, the good man, the religious man. We can look at our lives and we all fit, before we came to know Christ as Savior, we fit in one of these three things. We're either the bad people, we're either the good people, that's me, I thought I was good. I wasn't religious, I didn't go to church, I didn't have anything to do with church, but I thought, well, I'm better than the old bad people and I'm trying to live as good a life as I can, so God must love me for that and I'll be okay. And then there's the religious person, some of you who brought up in church but had never come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. You thought going to church, giving money, walking, you know, doing something, you're somehow going to, you know, be measure up for God. The problem is we're all guilty and come short of the glory of God. Well, this is where we are. Now, we raised the question right at the very end, which I think is the most important thing. Oh, raised the answer, really. How can a person who has fallen short of the glory of God, whether you're bad, you're good, or religious, how in the world can we have a relationship with God? And we talked last week about Jesus Christ and how he came to this earth and he died on the cross and he paid for sins and he rose again and he is the substitute. And anyone who will believe in him, put their faith in him for eternal life, will be saved and saved forever. Now this morning, as we continue, we got to remember where we are. We've already moved from the bad man to the so-called good man. And we see that the bad man rejects God and there's this moral decline. The good man looks over at the bad guy and says, I'm not like that. But the truth is, when we judge, the good guy judges the bad guy, he does the same thing. We're all guilty. As we continue this morning, we're going to see some more about the good. We're also going to meet the religious person. He's not going to get into details on it, but he's going to talk about the law. And so we need to understand that. Let me break down the passage for you. Romans chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 12 and go through verse 16. And in verses 12, 13, and 14, he talks about the law. And we're going to see the two aspects of law, and we'll put that together. Verse 15 talks about the conscience, the law written on people's hearts. And then verse 16 is the results of all this. It's judgment. And we'll see how that ties together. Now, before we get into the passage, and we're going to go fairly quickly when we get into the passage. Before we get into that passage, there are two biblical theological truths you need to understand. First one deals with law. Second one deals with the conscience. Let's start with the law. And we're talking about the concept of law, the concept of certain things are right, certain things are wrong. And when you look into the Bible, you're going to find two aspects of law. And I'm talking about dealing with unbelieving world, with the fallen world, the world, mankind. There are two aspects of law. Number one, there's what we call the Mosaic law, which was given to the nation of Israel. Number two, there is the moral law, the certain rights and wrongs that have been around from the very beginning. So two aspects, Mosaic law to Israel and moral law to all mankind. Let's talk about Mosaic law for just a second. There are a lot of people who think they're under the Mosaic law. You've never been under the Mosaic law. Let's look at it. Mosaic law is God's standard given to the nation of Israel. Do you remember when they came out of Egypt? Moses led them out. They parted the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea. They came out. They went to Mount Sinai. And when they got to Mount Sinai, Moses went up on top of the mountain, came down with the top 10 commandments. When he came down with the top 10 commandments, they had already broken all 10 of them. He threw them down and broke them. He went back up and God gave him 622 commandments for the nation of Israel. They were divided into three parts. They were called the commandments, the statutes, and the ordinances. The commandments were the 10 that we always know as call them the 10 commandments. The statutes had to do with the sacrificial system. The ordinances had to do with the food, the clothes, all the rules of life. The law was given to Israel for a number of reasons. Number one, to set them apart, and as he describes them, so they'd be peculiar people. They would be different people. They had different ways to live. Second is, the whole purpose of the Mosaic law was to have these people realize they could not keep these standards. And it pointed them to the Messiah. I want you to understand, one of the major purposes of not only Mosaic law, but law as a whole, it always shows us we cannot measure up and we need a Savior. In Galatians, Paul says in the book of Galatians that the law is our schoolmaster to point us to Christ. That's what it does. So there's this Mosaic law. The law was never for salvation. Salvation's always been the same way from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. It's always by faith, salvation. There's a second aspect of law. And that's called the moral law. That's the idea, the principle that there are certain things right and certain things wrong. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. It's not just dealing with the Mosaic law. There was the moral aspect of right and wrong long before there was the Mosaic law. It's always been wrong to kill and to lie and to steal. There's a moral aspect of law. So the two aspects of law are Mosaic law given to the nation of Israel, moral law given to all people. The problem is that under the Mosaic law, the Jewish people could not measure up. They're sinners and they need a Savior. Under the moral law, all other people look at the moral law of rights and wrongs. We're not able to measure up. We're guilty and we need a Savior. That's what you see in the Scripture. Now let me just say this to you. As a believer, as one who has trusted in Jesus Christ, Romans 6:4. 14 says, Christ is the end of the law to all who believe. We're not under the Mosaic law system. We never have been. There are a lot of people who teach that the rule of life for a Christian is the Mosaic law. It is not. You've never been under that? Not supposed to be under that. In fact, the Bible tells us that Christ is the end of the law to all who believe. Our rule of life is the New Testament, the basic truths and principles given in the Word of God that we're to live in the power of the Holy Spirit by. So it's a little bit different. Now, as far as law is concerned, for the unbelieving fallen world, there is the Mosaic law for the nation of Israel, moral law for all others. The second concept you must understand is the aspect of the conscience. Now, the conscience is the part of you, inside of you, that tells you right from wrong. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 to verse 15, which we'll look at in a minute. Don't look at it right now. It actually says the law, the concepts of right and wrong, are written on our hearts. Our conscience bears witness. There's an aspect that if every one of us inside of us know there's certain things right and certain things wrong. Listen, I did not grow up in church. I did not grow up with the Bible. But I'm going to tell you what, all of my life I know certain things are right. Certain things are wrong. You know that because of your conscience. Now, it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. You remember in the garden, he told them, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right and wrong. Don't eat from that tree. In the day you eat that tree, you're going to die. You're going to die physically, and then you're going to die spiritually, and then ultimately you're going to die physically. After they ate, they knew right then right from wrong. In fact, what he wanted them to do was learn right from wrong by doing right. They learned right from wrong by doing wrong. And from that point on, God even told him, he said, now that you know right from wrong. And all of us, inside of us, there's this conscience, there's this thing inside of us that tells us right from wrong. It's been said that the conscience is something inside that bothers you when nothing outside does bother you. It's the conscience. You can ignore your conscience and you can reject your conscience. The Bible uses some terms. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, it says you can sear your conscience. That means you can do things wrong enough that when your conscience keeps telling you it's wrong, you can ignore it enough that it won't bother you anymore. First, in Titus chapter 1, verse 15, it says you can have a defiled conscience. That means your conscience, you can do things so wrong it doesn't affect you. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 19 says you should have a clear conscience. So in summary for that, every person, we have a concept of right or wrong inside of us. Now, we can ignore it, and we can ignore it so long that it doesn't bother us. But the two concepts you need to understand, law. There is a Mosaic law given to the nation of Israel. They come short. There is a moral law given to all people, certain rights and wrongs. And even in our conscience, we say, I know certain things are right and wrong. And we all come short. So all people, whether Jew or Gentile, whether you're under Mosaic law or moral law, we're all guilty and need a Savior. That's going to be his point as we go through this. You need to understand those concepts. Now, we're going to start at verse 12. Actually, we're going to go back to verse 11. But 12 through 16, our passage, we're going to see this concept of law and conscience as we go through it. Let's look at verse 11, because here's the key. We saw it at the end last time. He says, there is no partiality with God. What that means is God doesn't judge on the curve. It doesn't go where he goes over here and says, oh, the bad man's bad. Good man, well, you're a lot better than the bad man, you know. And religious guy, I mean, you go to church, you're a lot better than the good guy and even better than the bad guy. He doesn't do that. He says, have you sinned? You're out. Good guy, have you sinned once? Yes, you're out. Religious guy, have you ever sinned once? You're out. The wages of sin is death. One sin and you are separated from God. It doesn't matter whether you're bad, good, or religious. This is his point in Romans chapter 1. One of these days, we'll get out of this. We'll get to chapter 3. It'll be so good. But right now, we're in the bad part. We're in the part that's the problem. And we're seeing who we are and what we're like. And fallen mankind, whether you're bad, you're good, or religious, there is no partiality with God. Now, notice, he's going to talk about both the guy who has the law and the guy who doesn't have the law. And we're talking about the Mosaic law. He says, for all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all those who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. When he says the law, he's talking about Mosaic law. And he says, for all who have sinned without the law will perish without the law. Now, he's talking to Gentiles, because in a minute, in verse 14, he's going to actually say, you Gentiles. those who have sinned without the law. Gentiles, we were never under the Mosaic law. We don't have that. He says, but any of those who have sinned without the law are going to also perish without the law. Why? Because we don't have to have the Mosaic law to show us wrong. We have the moral law from the very beginning that shows us that we're wrong. And he says, listen, if you don't have the Mosaic law and you sin, guess what? You're still going to be judged. You're still going to perish because the wages of sin is death. It doesn't matter whether you break the moral law or the Mosaic law. It doesn't make any difference. Notice also, he says, for all who have sinned without the law, that's the Gentiles, they don't have the Mosaic law, they're going to perish without the law because if you sin, you die. And then he goes on to say, and by the way, all those who have sinned under the law, that's the Jewish people, under the law will be judged by the law. That's the people who got the Mosaic law, and the Mosaic law judges. And nobody's ever kept the Mosaic law. Nobody can keep the 622 commandments. This morning I get here early and I always have my quiet time and I read from all these different sections. And it just so happens one of the sections this morning was Leviticus chapter 13. I read from Leviticus 13 to Leviticus 18. And if you ever read that, that's about, you know, if you got a sore and you had to go to the priest and then you have to be put unclean. And then if you got something wrong with your house, that's not that interesting. But you know what? They had to know all of those laws and they had to obey them. Well, you know what they could say? We can't keep those laws. That's exactly right. Part of the purpose of the law not only was to set them apart, but was to show them they need a Savior, because the law shows that you're a sinner. And so he says, those who've sinned without the law, that's the Gentile under the moral law, you're going to perish without the law because the moral law says you're a sinner. And those who have sinned under the law, that's the Mosaic law, are going to be judged by the law. And then he makes a great statement. See, by the way, law can't make you right. Law just shows you where you're wrong. Any law system tells you you're wrong. It can't make you live right. That's why when sometimes people say, here's the rules for Christians. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. You can't ever live that. Christians don't live under a set of laws because laws can't make you live right. For a Christian, you have the power of the Holy Spirit to live right. So law can't save you. Look what he goes on to say in verse 13. For the hearers, it's not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Just saying, I know what the law says, that's a hearer of the law. That doesn't make you right before God. You're going to have to be a doer of the law to be justified. Now, we saw last week that if a person would live and obey every law and keep everything perfectly, they'd be right with God. What's the problem? Everybody sinned at least once. That's why you get to Romans chapter 3 and you have to see the whole book in its context. In Romans chapter 3, he says, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one that seeks after God. They've all gone their own ways. All people are sinners and fallen short of God's glory. So he says, it's not the hearers of the law who are just before God, it's the doers of the law who are just before God, or else you'll be justified. Now he goes back to the Gentile. Watch what he says. For when Gentiles who do not have the law, we're talking about Mosaic law, they do instinctively the things of the law, that's the moral law, these not having the law are a law to themselves. He says, when the Gentiles who don't have the Mosaic law start doing the things that are right and wrong, it shows that there's a law to themselves. It's called the moral law. It's what I explained to you a while ago. There are rights and wrongs for every person, whether you're under a Mosaic law or you're under what we call the moral law. How do people, apart from the Mosaic law, these Gentiles as he calls it, how do they know the right from wrong? Notice verse 15. In that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness. Listen, inside of us, the rights and wrongs are inside of you. The law is written on your hearts. The moral aspects of right and wrong are written on your insides, and it's called your conscience. And that's why he says, your conscience bearing witness. Now, you know right from wrong. You could say, well, I've never even picked up a Bible. I never looked at the Old Testament. I never saw the Mosaic law. I never heard of the Ten Commandments. You could say all that, but let me tell you what, inside of you, the law is written on your heart and you know right from wrong and your conscience bears witness. That's what he says. That's why he said back in Romans chapter 1, no human being can ever stand before God and say, I got an excuse. I didn't know anything. He says, no, it's all in your heart. You do know. It says that they show the work of the law written in their hearts. Their conscience bearing witness. Someone has said the conscience is the still small voice inside of us that makes us feel even smaller. conscience is that part of the person that tells you right from wrong. Those without Mosaic law still know right from wrong because the conscience tells them. Notice what this verse goes on to say. Their thoughts alternately accusing them or else defending them. That's what the conscience does. It tells you right from wrong. It accuses you when you're wrong. It defends you when you're right. When you do something right, your conscience says, that was right. And you feel good. When you do something wrong, your conscience says, that's wrong. And you feel bad. Now, you can sear it, and you can get to the point where it doesn't make you feel bad anymore. You can live in such a way that in violation of all the rights and wrongs, you can live in such a way that it doesn't even bother you anymore. It's called searing your conscience. But he says the conscience defends you and accuses you. Marilyn Laszlo, I read about her when I was at seminary. Spent her life as a missionary to people in New Guinea. When she came there, she led people to Christ, and she tried to help them translate the Bible into their own language. She was incredible. She got to the part, and she asked this question. She said, now, to you, and she's talking to these people. They've never had a Bible. She said, to you, what exactly is sin? And they said, well, it's when you lie. It's when you kill. It's when you take another man's wife. She thought to herself, she said, they've got the law written on their hearts. They do. All people know right from wrong. So let me give you a summary before we get to this last verse. The so-called good man and the so-called religious man, those who have the Mosaic law, those who don't have the law, they have the moral law, they're all guilty before God. The so-called good man has a moral law, rights and wrongs that he knows, and his conscience says, you're guilty. The Jewish person has the Mosaic law with all the rights and the wrongs, and he has a conscience that also shows that he's guilty. All people come short of the glory of God. Now, here's the sad part, the next verse. By the way, if you realize that verse 16 actually goes back to verse 12. Verses 13, 14, and 15 are sort of a parenthesis. It literally says, for all who have sinned, this is verse 12, for all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. And then verse 16 gives the judgment. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. There's going to be a day that God will judge people. Now, when is that day? We're talking about what most call and what the Bible calls the Great White Throne Judgment. It's in Revelation chapter 20, in which unbelieving world will stand before Jesus Christ and be judged. It says here, on that day when according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets, the hidden things, things when people want to hide their sin, but God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. The judgment will be based on Jesus Christ, the perfect one. That's why the bad guy, when he stands there and he says, have you lived as perfect as Jesus? No, you're out. Good man, have you lived as perfect as Jesus? No, you're out. Religious man, have you lived as perfect as Jesus? No, you're out. When human beings stand before God based on their own merit, nobody measures up. All have sinned. That's every one of you and me in this room. Not a single one of us could ever measure up to God. Whether you're the bad, the good, or the religious. So it's sad. So here's the question that we also raised last week, because we saw all this same thing. We're seeing it every week for these next 3 to 4 lessons. We're seeing this same thing. What's the only hope we have? It's not in ourselves. Because if we compare ourselves to others, whether you're the religious, the good, or the bad, you still fall short of God's perfect glory. What's the only hope we have? The only hope is Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ came to this earth and died on the cross to pay for our sins. He became our substitute to take our place. 1 Peter 2:24 says he bore in his body our sins when he was on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God had made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the substitute. Jesus Christ came and took our place. He died for us, was buried, and rose again. And he offers to us eternal life, not based on our good lifestyle, because none of us are good, bad, good, or religious, based on faith. By grace, you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Now, let me tell you what I'm doing. I'm giving you an invitation right now to put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. I gave one last week. Right where you're sitting right now, if you have never done this, you can believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. You may say, well, I thought being good or trying to live a good life or going to church would save me. The answer is no, it will not. The only thing that will save you is Jesus. And you can trust in Him as your Savior right where you're sitting. You can believe that He died for you on the cross and paid for your sins, and He's offered to you eternal life. And by faith in Him, He gives you life forever. Sometimes the Bible calls that salvation. Sometimes it just calls it eternal life. You can trust Him as your Savior right now. I hope you do. I hope everyone in this room would be able to say, yes, I'm going to heaven. I have eternal life because I have trusted in Christ, and I'm not dependent on myself. I'm dependent on Jesus. What have we seen? All people, bad, good, religious, or sinners, and fall short of God's glory. The Gentiles, they don't have the law. They have the moral law, not the Mosaic law, but they have the moral law and the conscience. The Jews have the Mosaic law and the conscience. Both Jew and Gentile fall sin and come short of the glory of God and are guilty. God will judge mankind at the great white throne judgment. I'm talking about unbelieving mankind. Man's only hope is the provision of the Son, Jesus Christ, and by faith in Him. Let me give you some applications and we'll close. The first one is, let's understand the purpose of law in our lives. Understand that law has a purpose. It is to show you you're a sinner. Whether you're a Jewish person, you're under the Mosaic law, you can't measure it up. Whether you're the Gentile who's under the moral law, you can't measure up. The purpose of the law is to say you can never measure up to God. That's why Galatians says it points us to Christ. We need a Savior. There's an old saying that says, man has followed the Ten Commandments all of his life, and he's never been able to catch up with them. And it's true. Second, let's understand the role of the conscience in our lives. What's the conscience for? The conscience is a part of you that God has given, the law written on your heart, that you know right from wrong. There are certain things right, certain things wrong. You know it from your conscience. Understand the role. Understand that you can sear the conscience. But people know right from wrong. Mark Twain said, man is the only animal that blushes. We know right from wrong. Third, know that one day God will bring judgment to fallen mankind. And we're talking about people who never believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. One day they're going to stand before God. And when He judges them, none of them can measure up. Their names are not found written in the book of life, because to be found written in the book of life, you believe in Jesus Christ. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that takes us to the last one, but not least, is to realize the only hope for eternal life is faith in Jesus Christ. He's the only hope. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Him. He is the substitute. By grace you're saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. No other man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Over and over. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness we've done, but according to His mercy does He save us. Over and over, it's the same thing. The law pinpoints the problem. God's grace in Jesus Christ solves the problem. So may we proclaim the good news of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ to all people who know right from wrong and one day will be judged by God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this morning and this passage. Lord, it's hard. They're hard things. But we realize that we have a law. Law as a whole. Not only the moral law, which is from the very beginning, but even the Mosaic law given to the nation of Israel. And when people look at the law, we realize we can never keep it. We fall short. Second, Lord, we realize that You've given us a conscience, that the law is written on our hearts, the rights and wrongs, and we know right from wrong. And third, Lord, we know that someday all of those who do not believe in Jesus will stand before Jesus Christ to be judged, and that the only hope is faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life. Lord, I just ask You that, number one, if there's anyone in this room who has never trusted in Jesus Christ, that right now they will put their faith in Him. They will believe that He died for them, paid for their sins, and rose again, and will give them eternal life. I pray for that. Lord, I pray for all of us in this room who have trusted in Jesus, that as we spread out in this community, that You'll use us to take the good news message of Jesus Christ, that we'll tell people about Jesus, and that we'll tell them that whether they're bad, good, or religious, the only hope they have is Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.